I didn't watch this film as fast as I watched The Flash. I watched The Flash at 2x speed in a car. I was driving. I wasn't watching it while I was driving. I had to stop watching it to drive, but I kept listening to it because I was late and forgot to watch The Flash.
Yeah.
And I had to get this back home.
Would have been more appropriate to watch in a car.
Yeah. I think I would die. I think if you try to watch Speed Racer in a fast car, your head would cave in on itself and then explode and then cave in on itself again.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast where we watch a movie and dare to ask the question, is this where I die historic on the Fury Road? We are three unpaid interns who have been locked away in a basement somewhere in Hollywood and forced to churn out sequels to movies that nobody asked for. So grab some popcorn and your hard hat and maybe a young chimpanzee to join us on the ground floor of Sequel Factory. I am Roger.
I am Jet.
I'm X.
And we are joined today by a producer of the show. So we have to be on our best behavior. No cursing in this one, folks.
Yes.
Please welcome to the basement, Connor.
Hi.
Wonderful.
Really
so,
good. Clean take. You can use that as a ringtone if you need to.
I think that would scare people.
Speed Racer is the movie we watch today by the Wachowskis. It's a film in which a young man drives a car so gosh darn fast he destroys the entire criminal underworld.
Yeah, that's... Wow, that was it. You did it.
Yeah, that's the whole movie. It is a...
crazy how it was 2 hours long, huh?
Anime, cartoon, technicolor fever dream that redefines film language in a way that no one was ready for when it came out.
Nope. So Connor, it's been brought to our attention. You're a huge fan of this movie.
Yes, this is my favorite movie of all time, for sure.
None of our other film sequel ideas have been enough like Speed Racer. That's why we're still locked in this basement.
Right, right. That is why Connor's here to keep us kind of on track. Like, I assume Connor wants our freedom as much as we do. But like from a money standpoint, so this movie was 2 hours and what, 15 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
God,
2 hours.
And it's so fast. It feels like six.
I paused it at 9 minutes and I went into Jenna's room and I was like, hey, are you sure you don't want to watch this with me? And she was like, yes, I don't want to watch Speed Racer. And I was like, my heart's beating really fast right now. I think I need support with the momentum of this movie. It just started.
It sounds like it was working.
I really thought the whole movie was going to be a single race and then just flashbacks like played throughout.
It kind of feels like it could be.
Right.
I would honestly say the beginning of the film is almost like a short film that is that. I mean, you could almost stop the movie 17 minutes in and it would work as just a short Speed Racer film.
Yeah. Yeah. X, did you know anything about Speed Racer before we watched it?
Yeah, I watched this movie all the way back when it first came out. I think I was like 13 at the time. But that was the only time I'd seen it. And then I remember a lot of it. It was like very formative for me, but like, there was a lot that I had to try to remember. And then as soon as it happened in the movie, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. I remember this being great and it still is great. The only thing that really hasn't held up for me, but I thought was still very fun was all the green screen in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a shot where the parents open the front door to meet the villain of the movie, and them just standing in the foyer is green screen.
Right.
Like, they green screened in that foyer for some reason, and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, that's your one comment you get to make about the special effects in this film before I kill you with a stick.
It's very Spy Kids 3D, right? And this movie came out like 4 years after that.
It is not going for visual realism or fidelity. It treats itself like a cartoon. throughout. It treats live action like animation. It treats them like foreground plates and background plates that can be slid around and moved however best suits the sort of fluid storytelling.
I honestly find it hilarious because 9 times out of 10, I think the idea with a live action adaption is, so what if this thing was live action? And the Wachowskis were like, okay, but what if it was a cartoon?
Yeah, what if we used John Goodman to be a cartoon?
Yeah, we make live action Speed Racer and then we take it
we
so
still
far,
make a cartoon.
Sort of horseshoe theory loops back around into being a cartoon again. At its very essence, it is a film about capitalism and greedy business trying to tear apart a family business and sort of pull talent into itself and consume everything valuable in the world so it can be transformed into capital. It just so happens that in this particular world, racing is the most important thing around which the stock market and all industry and all business and all economy all sort of like
coalesce
to. Mm-hmm. So the people who win races, that affects the stock price of a company who's a sponsor of that, which can allow them to do a corporate takeover of a smaller company of someone who crashed, but that person only crashed because the race was being fixed by some other, like, mob force that paid someone to crash into them to... That's sort of the language of the crime and conflict in the film. In particular, Royalton Industries, the main bad guy, Royalton himself, I don't know
the
his
devil.
First name.
Yeah, this guy was a masterclass in the idea that you can't sound that cool and be a good guy.
Uh-huh.
You can't have a voice like that and be a protagonist. It doesn't work. Like... In the beginning of the film, when you meet him, he's very like he's obviously trying to win over Speed Racer, which, by the way, Roger found out that that's the character's name.
You thought it was like a description.
Yeah, I thought Speed Racer was a description of the show.
No,
it's his name. The guy.
Yeah. My friend Emily thought that until just recently, too. I was like, what? No, it's his name.
Yeah. We think that's obvious for some reason.
Obviously, his name is Speed Racer.
Yeah, when you find out that his name is actually Speed Racer, it's in the flashback where he's a kid and his teacher's like, he's not, his attention is off. He's thinking about race cars during school. This needs to be fixed. And you see him hand in his test really fast and he runs out and she's like, slow down, Speed Racer, which was the weirdest thing for a teacher to say, like so sincerely.
It's a bit like finding out that Vin Diesel's character in the Fast and the Furious franchise is named Fast Furious.
Or like,
Mr.
Family
Furious
car.
Is my father.
Did everyone miss my family car joke? That's okay. So, this bad guy wants to win over the good graces of the best racer on the planet.
He basically wants to trap Speed, this young hotshot, into a contract, so that he can own him and tell him exactly how to run his races. Because right. As long as he's a free agent, he runs the risk of messing up whatever fixing schemes the bad guys are planning. Speed rejects the proposal, and Royalton Industries goes on a campaign to destroy Racer Motors, Speed's family business, essentially. Speed gets in with a secret agency of super secret spy guys, working with a masked racer known as Racer X, who might, perhaps, be his older brother Rex, who mysteriously died years ago.
The double blind on that character. I was so upset.
This is something that we have to pull into the sequel, because the movie does not ever allow the Racer family to know that Racer X is actually Speed's older brother. Speed never finds out that his older brother is still alive. And this is one of the major emotional through lines of the film.
Yeah. They don't rip that Band-Aid off until, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Right.
They leave it as a tragedy for Rex and the Racer family.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's an element of one of the big two themes of the film, really.
Yeah. But basically, through all kinds of shenanigans, going through rally races and dealing with headhunters and punching guys in the face between races, fighting ninjas and so on, Speed manages to get a ticket to the Grand Prix and frickin' drives his car so fast, wins the race, destroys all of the fixing schemes, and basically buries Royalton simply as a result of beating all of the odds. And bad guy goes to jail, Racer Motors does great, all of the scandals, and as they say in the movie, it's a whole new world, baby. And that's what we got to work with for the sequel.
All right, so let's get the chaff out of the way. I have ideas. I think the premise of the film, and like we can obviously delve into the whole brother, it, like Rex is X, good job, storyline.
Yeah,
I kinda
Racer
wanna...
X is Rex Racer.
Yeah,
it's just backwards.
So what was I gonna? Oh, I want to explore an underutilized character who is responsible for exposing the brother's second life. And that is, of course, Sparky. Mm-hmm.
Sparky, yes. Sparky is the engineer, employee of Racer Motors, who is basically a member of the family. But you know he's not related to them by blood because he's Australian.
He does have an accent in the movie. Does he have an accent in the TV show? I never watched the show.
No.
Nope.
No, I believe in the cartoon, accent. He sort of sounded like this. Oh, Speed! Something like that. Oh. It's been a while.
Was it you? Did you do it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, so okay, so he's a mechanic, and I the way I want to like frame this would be you know, it's the night of the big race. Obviously, everything's everyone's kind of celebrating. He drinks the milk on stage, and I don't know why. I like teared up in that moment. I was like, oh, he should have been a better character. I love that he couldn't fight.
You teared up because it's an amazing film that's executed so well.
Well, I mean, let's not give X ammunition here. So
I've got my stick sharp.
I like this movie.
I don't want you guys to confuse that.
Okay.
I'm so surprised.
Like genuinely surprised that I liked the movie. Just because, like, obviously it's 2026. It took me this long to watch it.
It didn't do well.
No.
That's why there's no sequel.
Do you feel that if a movie is good, there's a ticking time bomb to you watching it?
Hey, Roger watched, what was it?
No. I want to drill in on that. Roger,
yeah?
Do you think if a movie is good, there's a ticking time bomb to you watching it?
Like, give me like the maximum amount of time you think is reasonable or possible or likely. Good movie definitely gets seen by you.
In 2025, for the first
lifetime.
Time, I watched... Yeah, in 2025, for the first time, I had watched The Departed. So,
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's really good.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
what year is that?
That's surprising. If it was good,
it's
I thought I would have seen it by now.
2006.
So it's been
20
years.
Years.
Which is
anyway,
amazing because I've seen The Departed like at least 15 times in the 20 years that it's been out. So, okay, that's
so,
it. What were you saying, Roger?
So Sparky, the next day he's like fixing up the old car or the Mach 6 now is what the movie ended on, was the Mach 6. And so he's like, he's just tuning it up, right? It just had a big race. It's going to need some touch-ups. And then... maybe that agency like approaches him, the one that agent Racer
Inspector
X
Detector.
Works, right?
Racer
Inspector
X
Detector.
Inspector Detector.
They approach they approach Sparky about maybe doing, you know, some mechanic work for the industry, and kind of pulling him into the fold. But it's only through the behavior of Racer X's car that Sparky realizes who he is.
This is your sequel idea.
Yeah, like, well, obviously, okay. That's not the whole movie, but...
Oh, like, he gets in, he's, like, working on X's car, which is called the Shooting Star. He's working on the Shooting Star and sees, like, particular wear marks. Like,
that he only recognizes from Rex's car.
That's how Rex always raced. That's how he drove. It's the same wear and tear. Because Speed thought in the movie that he recognized X as Rex.
This is so
because
confusing.
Of how he drives.
He did.
But he had facial reconstruction surgery, so he doesn't look like the same guy. So when he takes off his mask, Speed's like, "Oh shit. Different guy."
Yeah, whenever they were like, it was like, "I know it's you, Rex. You're my brother, and you didn't really die." And he pulls off his mask, and I was like, "Here it comes!" And it was a different guy, and I was like, are we sure? And then just like later in the movie, he's like, "Yeah, I don't know if I regret not telling them, but we'll figure it out or whatever.
I've got to live with this.
I had facial reconstructive surgery." The premise of all that was confusing to me. Did he kill himself because his family could have gotten backlash from his behavior on a racetrack? Yeah. Is that what happened?
That's right. He had been involved in taking down like a whole freaking like fixing scandal. That he had like infiltrated as a double agent. That's why he.
I'm sure he was afraid of being used to hurt the family.
Yeah. So basically, like witness protection
or vice versa, right? Okay. Like people going after the family to hurt Rex because they think Rex is alive and someone they can do something to. But
which
if he's gone, then
exactly
it just...
that's exactly what happens to Racer Motors when Speed tries to fight back against Royalton. So that's obviously what Rex is trying to avoid.
And I assume he changed his face just to make. Absolutely sure that even if he got caught, no one would be like, "Oh, this is like Rex Racer," which is probably future proofing.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure. Although he just wears a mask.
That's my early game pitch is Sparky is the focus, at least in the beginning, of him discovering exactly who Racer X is. And I don't know.
That's one pitch. He finds out the truth as he is working for Inspection Detection Agency or whatever it's called. and has to kind of grapple with that in the midst of other criminal underpinnings.
Can I say, I actually really enjoy that the movie was really unapologetic about introducing characters from the show. I've never seen the show.
Boy, yeah.
But they didn't do the thing where most movies would, in that they'd be like, "And here's this character," and like freeze frame says their name, and it's like, "Oh, that's Blanky Blank. He was in World War Blank, and he likes to eat hot dogs." They don't explain any character. Like Chim Chim, why is there a primate in the house?
He's one of their sons.
apparently so.
What are we? Some kind of speed racers?
So coolest part of the movie is when Speed Racer's going down the snowy mountain and he turns on his spiky wheels and then jumps to the other face of the mountain and starts. I audibly out in my house alone in my room cheered. I was so pumped about that.
No, it's so great. I have to say something because it's very exciting to me that Roger's just seen this movie for the first time. This movie, from the second it starts, it is asking you to come on a very specific ride. It literally starts with a kaleidoscope as if to say, will you entertain this experience that's going to be like this the whole time?
We see kaleidoscopes pretty differently, but I appreciate it.
No, then it's not a very good movie. But if you say, yeah, sure, then it's amazing.
I'm actually going to kind of plug something while I say this. Recently, I watched a YouTube video that inspired me in which if I'm, what is it called? The sunk cost fallacy. If I am sitting down, choosing to watch a movie.
I like where this is going.
Then I have already engaged in the idea that I'm going to like it. And why not just like it?
Like, you should be trying. You should be trying your best to not be wasting your time right now. That doesn't make you not discerning. That means you're trying to engage with the art honestly and have a real experience with it.
So I guess if you don't enjoy the movie, you're kind of an idiot for doing this, aren't you?
Right. Like, I have to enjoy the time that I'm spending doing the thing. But this is all a direct reference to one of Jet's YouTube videos.
Oh.
Because I watched Five Nights at Freddy's 2 and convinced me that maybe it wasn't that bad of a movie.
Oh, hey, you're man. One of the only people that saw that video.
Otter's otter help each otter.
Definitely one of the only people on this podcast. Connor, you said, I like the way you phrased that, this movie starts with a kaleidoscope and is asking you to accept that this is what the movie's going to be.
A specific ride.
Right. And this movie only came out a couple years after Sin City, which is like the opposite, right? It did the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. It was all green screen. It was all super stylized, but it was in black and white. And people idolize that movie. Like they worship.
They sure do.
That movie for all the wrong reasons, I'm sure. But like, it's so amazing to me that this movie did the same thing.
On account of the sin or on account of the city?
I have a thought about the climate being exactly wrong.
Probably this city.
On that note, could you guys know the movie that came out a week before Speed Racer? A week.
I'm so scared.
Was it 2006?
What year was this? 2008. Yeah.
Iron Man, I think.
The Dark Knight. Oh, Iron Man. Okay.
Oh my God.
The thing about Iron Man is, I think that movie sort of solidified like good modern superhero movie to people, and it did it by really sort of grounding it. Like, it felt real in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously it's kind of silly, but it felt grounded and it felt like you're making superheroes real. Like, oh, he didn't fall in a vat of acid and there's not colors everywhere. Like, you know, he gets kidnapped by terrorists and it felt very real. And then it's like he doesn't even have superpowers. He just has armor and stuff. And I think people were really thrilled at that time with the way that sort of made that feel like it could happen in a way. So it was the exact wrong taste to have in your mouth for then this movie to come along and be like, actually, like, don't even try to feel like it's real. Like, it's obviously green screen. Right. It's obviously fake. It's a cartoon. It's silly. I just don't think people were in the mood or the attitude
difference between the two is that this movie could have and maybe should have utilized more AC/DC in their soundtrack, but they didn't. And
maybe.
And that, I think that was the step up that Iron Man had.
True. This is also the same year that The Dark Knight came out. So,
that's another epitome
grounded,
of
gritty,
grounded,
realistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what if Batman was actually happening? This movie is not what if Speed Racer really happened at all.
No.
Not even a little bit.
No.
It's mostly like, how can we put everything that was in Speed Racer, that was good about Speed Racer, in a movie that's also good for its own reasons? But it's not asking the question of how could it be happening for real, like even a little bit.
In the beginning of the movie, Rex picks up Speed. From school, and Speed gets in his car and they drive down like a suburban neighborhood that it very clearly resembles the CGI from Roly Poly Oly.
It sure looks like a kid show.
Yeah,
it's like Lazy Town.
And then they went from to a racetrack. And if you see the racetracks in the film, you're like, this is the coolest thing. Why doesn't it exist in real life? Why wasn't a video game made about this? Oh my God, there was? I didn't play it.
Can we please throw human lives at this for as long as it takes for enough people to be good enough at it to not die every time?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so pitches.
I think we should start with establishing the villain of the movie and how that's going to bring Racer X, Speed Racer together and allow Sparky to realize that this is actually Rex.
That is an interest. I do like the idea of getting kind of a villain locked down, because Speed does pretty much, I mean, obviously you could have there be more criminal underworld to be a problem, but it would be kind of rehashing.
Yeah, so, okay, let's look at it through the lens of like, our modern world, right? Like, who's everybody mad at right now? It's politicians and the super rich, right? The super rich was already kind of the villain in the first one, but we could double down on that. Like, the super rich have taken over absolutely everything, to the point that, like, even crime syndicates, guys with literal guns, can't even get into this world anymore. It's so exclusive. But
that's
what?
The first movie.
Hey, wait. What if cars weren't allowed anymore?
Okay, well, now we're
doing.
Like,
they were outlawed?
Now we're doing Red Barchetta by Rush.
I was actually kind of going more towards Footloose kind of thing.
Here, okay. You just said that's kind of what the first movie is. You're right. But let's do this. Politicians. Politicians have taken over. At first, meant to be like a good thing, right? Like, the government is going to make sure that there's nothing illegal going on within this world, but the ultra rich are trying to buy their way back in. Politicians are pretty easy to buy, right? So
I don't know what you mean.
I don't either, man. A Nobel Prize is pretty much
I have a villain idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it seems like right now we're trying to go bigger, right? We're trying to go into like larger scale, but
what do you think a sequel does? Okay, you know
well,
what?
Let Jed explain. All right,
do you?
Yeah,
I have my own stick. Don't worry.
Oh, we got stick fight.
My stick I'll is win. The editing room in which
that's so true.
Oh, crap. Yeah, crap. The most iconic, I think, episode of the original series was a story arc surrounding a car called the GRX, which is, the episode starts with, like, some thugs going to a graveyard and digging up a grave and pulling an engine out from the grave.
Oh.
They then put this engine into a car, because it was the engine of the GRX. They put this engine into a car, and it is so freaking fast that, like, it kills everyone who tries to drive it. Now, in this film, Cannibal Taylor, the sort of main crony of Royalton, whose Speed has to sort of beat at the end, Cannibal Taylor, like the reigning champion, is driving a car called the GRX, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, they did use that name. They didn't really use any of the elements of what that is in the cartoon, but they did use the name.
There is one big problem, which is that all of these actors are old now. So we're going to probably have to do some kind of a time skip forward. If that means introducing some kind of a younger generation to be like the main cast, and like using Sparky and Speed as sort of the old guard, right? Who are also probably still very important to the film, but
it was a little
could just
name?
Recast
Spritel.
Spritel.
It could well be
just now?
Me.
Yes. What did you say? What did you?
Oh
call
yeah,
Spritel?
Yeah. What name did you say?
I'm pretty sure I said Spritel.
Are you sure?
I may have said spleen.
So let me say this. I'm going to require that character's name is changed to Spleen in this movie with no explanation.
Spleen Racer, it's right there.
Spleen Racer!
Anyway, so...
just an unexplained mistake / change... Don't worry.
I think it's pretty easy to have Spritel be a race car driver.
Speed true. Does say you'll understand when it's your turn and he's leaving home, like almost implying Spritel will inevitably drive cars at some point.
Yeah. I
sure.
think
Spritel
he's
is destined
good.
To be more like Sparky rather than actually be a driver. Because
so
he,
then
he's
Chim
like,
Chim is the next generation up.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put him behind the wheel.
The movies following Chim Chim, huh?
I think, going back to villain, I think
a ghost engine.
Chim Chim should be the villain.
I'm thinking a ghost engine. I think that something there can be something that was like happening during the first movie, right? Like Cannonball Taylor, he's not a super like deep or explored character the first movie, but you sort of get the impression that he resents speed when Royalton is trying to recruit him. Because Royalton's trying to replace him with speed. I get this impression that Cannonball Taylor probably resents Royalton somewhat. Especially for making him use spear hooks, right? And putting spear hooks in GRX. It could well be that we can do flashbacks to Cannonball Taylor, who had, like, stolen trade secrets from Royalton towards the end there, and had hid them inside the GRX, like the computer, like the engine computer of the GRX, and was going to like do something, right? Like after he wins the championship, he was gonna like steal the car or like take these plans and start his own industry and like build like the fastest car ever, right? Because like Royalton's research had come up with plans for the fastest engine ever designed, right? But after the race, after the GRX is destroyed and Cannonball Taylor is disgraced and Royalton is disgraced, the engine and the GRX gets impounded and sent to a scrapyard. But someone learns about that information was hidden inside this car, hidden inside this engine. And so the movie starts with an opening sequence of some thugs digging around in a junkyard, and they pull out the old wreck of the GRX and extract data from its computer for the next GRX model that was going to be built after that.
Wait, and they use the model's successor was hidden in the original model?
Yeah, because Cannonball Taylor stole it and hid it in the car while he was driving.
Okay.
He was smuggling it out, yeah.
And he was gonna steal it. So these guys take these plans and they build a car that is so incredibly fast that it kills everyone who drives it. And maybe...
Oh, no!
Maybe has a rogue AI on board.
See, now we're talking that, villains. AI?
Now, yeah.
Now we're talking
right.
villains.
So the GRX is its own, the new GRX is its own entity that is acting autonomously. And probably people don't know because like the cockpit is closed, but it keeps joining these races and like wreaking havoc in all of these races. And it's like, ooh, well, who's the mysterious pilot of the GRX? And you learn it's some kind of twist that there's no one inside the GRX and that it's, I don't know, trying to proliferate and take over other vehicles, something like that.
I like that.
I will say I do like the introduction of AI because of one specific element, which is that a major thing in this movie, like if you were to pin down the themes, there's like two main ones. And like the big one, like is the whole capitalism thing, right? I would summarize it as greed seeks to destroy pure expression, but greed can be vanquished. That's kind of what the movie's about. In the, Speed's basically an artist. I think Royalton calls him, he says, oh, I'm watching an artist. And then his mom says it too. His mom like, I feel like I'm watching someone paint or make art. He's an artist and a devil archetype villain working under capitalism, tries to corrupt Speed's art for his own gain, which is basically in exchange for Speed's soul or like the creative control over his own art, he'll receive security and success for him and his loved ones when Speed declines, you know, if the devil tries to squash him. What's great about this, though, is to me, it makes racing in this movie, it's not really about racing at all. It really is representing art and being an artist. So the funny thing is if you do an AI car, again, against an artist, that actually kind of works because that's one of the big things that AI is threatening is art.
If we go with this, I do think we should recast because I think that story is going to be best told with Speed as the protagonist still.
That's fine. Whatever you want to
as do. As a new threat that he has to face that is actually a challenge to his.
But the AI has learned from all the other drivers. Anyone who's ever driven the car, it's learned from.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what it is. Maybe what they do is this GRX software that's acting autonomously, like through like the internet, or I mean, you don't really have the internet in this, through like shady black market dealers, right? These chips are being sold that you can plug into the computer of your T-180, and it will is like a smarter, better, faster computing system that is propelling all of these loser nobody drivers to the point where they're beating Speed, the champion. And it's like, how are these people all getting so fast? That's when Inspector Detector comes back in to the fold and is like, there's suspicious stuff going on with whatever tech these drivers are using, and we think it might, you know, be some kind of global security threat. And what it's doing is the GRX AI is getting data from all of these different racers and harvesting them, and is probably like sort of comes in, I don't know, midpoint or somewhere else and uses it all.
I do like the idea of this GRX, like kind of getting all this data from other racers to become the best.
Yeah.
But Speed is still the best, right? So he still needs this engine still needs to get Speed's data. So
right,
I think
it needs one more data set.
At some point, Speed, I feel like to add a little more tension, Speed needs to get behind the wheel of the GRX. And
that's
that way
literally what happens in the cartoon. Is Speed is so like taken them like, I have to drive this car, right? He gets curious of like, if this is actually the future of the technology, I have to try it and see what it is. And literally it, when he drives the car in the show, it almost kills him. I believe a direct quote, I've been saying it for years because it's stuck in my mind, is he's like driving, like the screen is blurring and it's like a fever sequence, and Speed's like, it's like I'm entering a new dimension, a dimension born of Speed, which is funny because it's his name also. I love that. I think someone comes to him and is like, try it. Just give it a try. Give it one drive. Because I think maybe like there are other drivers who are like using this software and it's like they like can't control and it's killing them.
What if it is killing the drivers, but what if all these cars that download this this software to increase their odds, the drivers die, but then that leaves the car to be autonomous, right? The AI is taking over all these other cars, but we don't know, like everyone else in the world doesn't know that these drivers are dead. We as the audience do.
Yeah.
But Speed thinks
there's all that's a great setup for like the finale of the film. Is Speed is having to do this race with all of these like ghost drivers, basically, that the GRX is controlling. So the GRX is able to, because they've all entered the race, and maybe it's using a hologram to like project the appearance of the original drivers, but the drivers are dead.
The cars are
driving on their own, but the GRX can control them to try to like mess up Speed during the final race.
What if during that scene, like at the starting line, right? You've got everyone's like tension building. You got everyone in the audience like, oh, what's gonna happen? And you have the announcers talking their way through like what, you know, what special cars are doing, what, where, but whatever. And then there's this moment where, you know, Speed, I don't know, says something along the lines of like, I don't even know who I'm up against right now. And all the other cars have like not hoods, but like covered canopies now, because guns are a pretty big issue with these races.
All the cars have covered canopies now because what happened to Casa Cristo, where Snake Oiler pulled out a gun.
Exactly.
They realized that technically the rules don't say you can't have a gun in a race, so it became a major problem.
So instead of taking away guns, we gave everyone shields. Anyway, so these covered canopies just start to like one by one open up, and we realize that there's no one in the cockpit of any of these cars except the GRX. who has like a hologram that looks exactly like Speed Racer.
Oh, because when he drove the GRX, it was harvesting his racing data.
Yeah.
I have so a kernel of an idea that I want to float out for you guys.
Plant that kernel
into your thing here. Regarding the thing about the theme underneath all this with the AI and how that goes up against like art. Something that I feel very strong about with AI art is people keep, you know, with like music, for example, like people are using AI to make songs these days. And I keep seeing people try to fight against that by being like, oh, AI will never make a song as good as a person can make because it won't be able to write like good lyrics or the melody won't be good or something. And I just don't think that's true. I think AI will get good enough that it can write a song that's like good by metrics of
only
what
if we
consider
allow
to be
it.
A good song. If we allow it, yes.
And we will.
Yeah, and we will.
But the reason it doesn't concern me too much is because I think people are missing the fact that what makes art so interesting is the human element of it. It's like if you ask anybody about their favorite music artist, they'll probably tell you something about the person or who made it or their story or why they wrote the song or what they were thinking about when they wrote it. If it was all just automated, it doesn't really mean as much. You could listen to music that was made by a computer for like background music or whatever, but when you get down to someone's absolute favorite art and favorite artists, it's always gonna get more personal. There's an element of human connection there for the art that seems to matter the most. Mm-hmm. So I think what's interesting that you could use here is if Speed is the artist and the computer car is, you know, perfect and it's able to meet or surpass him, you could find some way to drill in on the fact that like ultimately it doesn't really matter if a computer can drive a car better because it's not interesting. It doesn't mean anything. Not the way it does it's about when a person does something and what we us connecting with that.
Yeah.
Oh, so obviously at the end of the movie, hold on, I have it here. At the end of the movie, the GRX does win the race and everyone's really sullen about it. And to win that race, it did have to crash Speed Racer's car. Now, Speed Racer, having the tenacity to obviously move forward without a car, limps across the finish line and the audience loses their minds.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool, Roger.
Isn't it?
Because that no is one Talladega really gives Nights, a shit about isn't this it? AI.
Oh no.
I think he pushes the Mach 6 the rest of the way. I mean, I think he gets out of the car.
Well, all the other cars are destroyed, so he has the time to just push it to the finish line. I mean, maybe he's only a few inches away from it, but
yeah, like he crashes and the GRX goes through and everyone's just like, oh, that's
what it's
feels
all about.
Bad and sucks. Yeah. And then Speed, yeah. How do we? Okay, I love that. I think he has to like push the Mach 6 the rest of the way to get it across the finish line. maybe it's 2x. It's like a whole T180. There's one other driver. Mm-hmm. In the race.
I've been trying to... Oh. I was like, when are we going to put him in? Yeah.
Speed has crashed. He feels...
Oh, right.
He feels hopeless.
Racer X is a purist. He wasn't going to get behind the wheel of the GRX, so he's still alive. Right. He's he's there to lend a helping hand to give him the push that he needs to get across that finish line.
Yeah, and maybe the two of them...
Oh,
push
they
the car
push it
together. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Ooh, and what is it that he said to Speed at the beginning of the movie? He has to say something in this moment that allows Speed to know that
Rex. It's X.
Yeah.
I'm
thinking the Red Sox thing, but like
the Red Sox thing is definitely
how would that come up when he's pushing a car?
Well, no, he's you know? No, because he survived. He survived a crash. He survived a car crash.
Oh yeah.
Right.
He could say, it's a good thing you had your red socks on. And then he's like, oh,
wait a minute,
Rex.
Oh, yeah. So you know what that is? Okay, you know what? X gets out and starts pushing the car. Right. He manages to arrive. Starts pushing it. And Speed's like, what are you doing? The race the race is over. The Mach 6 is, destroyed. And
that's when
X...
Spleen and the chimp pop out of the trunk too and start helping to push as well. Yeah.
Speed's like, how do I even steer the car? And X tears off the mask and says, stop steering and start driving. And that's, of course, the line that Rex says.
Tearing off the mask thing doesn't matter because his face is different. No, he's done it once
it's
before.
Still different.
I got facial surgery to make me but to make me go back.
And then Speed gets out, and then Spleen did it.
Yeah,
three generations of racers all get out of the car. Spleen and Speed and Chim Chim and X, and they all. Push the car across the finish line.
What if we kept Speed in the driver's seat and put Pops behind the car as well?
No. You know who gets in the freaking driver's seat? Spleen. as Speed and Rex push.
Ooh, that works even more
say,
because
it's emotional
Spleen,
now. Spritel gets and he drives the car.
Yeah. Okay. So
and
that,
it's like.
That makes the line work better because then he can get into the front. And he's like, "Hey, get in and steer," and he like hops in. And he's like, "I can't steer it," and then that's when
steer.
X says,
"Like the wheels won't move. All the power's down."
Yeah, and that's when X gives
Speed
the line.
Say it at the same time.
Yeah, that.
and then Speed
good,
like.
Yeah.
Looks
it's so
over
rare
it.
That X gets excited about ideas, and Jet, you are just steamrolling him.
It's also funny that X is your name and also the name of the
I know, yeah, it's getting confusing.
You're right, that is pretty funny.
Okay.
Connor,
I guess it's normal, sorry.
Connor feelings. How do you feel about this?
I think it's all right. I think here's the thing. I like that you're constructing something with some emotional catharsis at the end.
Yeah.
We do that sometimes.
It's something the first movie does the best.
If I could touch on the movie itself for just a second, I think my favorite thing about the movie, aside from the themes, is that it fixes the two big issues with like racing movies. The first issue with racing movies, if I could just go over that quickly because I like this movie, is that racing never looks as cool as it really is. Like driving cars fast is crazy when you're actually doing it, but so much of the intensity is lost to the viewer. It's very hard to follow. The struggle is so abstract compared to like wrestling. Because like with wrestling, okay, he punched him in the face. Like, ow, it hurts to get punched in the face. But it's like when somebody's racing a car and it's like, okay, why isn't he going past him? He's trying to steer harder, but it's hard to steer and go fast enough. He needs to push the pedal more. Like it just doesn't connect as well. But by making the racing like this extreme style of racing with these crazy speeds and stunts and that literal physical combat on insane tracks, they've created like adequate intensity and action that connects. Like we can follow it, we understand when things bump into each other and knock each other over, and it just ends up being better to watch than like realistic racing tends to look in a movie. But the other thing that it fixes is that racing movies inevitably boil down to the final race. I mean, that's literally where we've gone with this, right? Is what happens at the big race at the end? Because it's just, of course it's gonna do that. It's a racing movie, there's a big race at the end. And every racing movie always falls into this trap of stuck trying to make the audience wonder if the protagonist is going to win the big race. Like, can he do it is the question. And the answer is either yes, which go figure, or no, which usually kind of sucks. So what Speed Racer does really well is it does ask the question of can he do it as the final race starts. But then it answers that question midway through, because the moment he defeats Cannonball Taylor and finally restarts his car and takes off, Spritel literally stands up and says, he's going to do it. Like the movie just confirms right there that like, yes, he is going to win the Grand Prix. And it spends the rest of the race not really trying to make you wonder if he can pull this off. It just reminds you of every reason why it matters that he is going to. And it does it with cliche anime flashbacks to dialogue characters said like 15 minutes ago. which is really yes. on brand.
It can't be too long ago because we'll forget.
No. Yeah, exactly. But then the funny thing is, ultimately, you get to bask in this glorious moment for so long rather than kind of stressing about it. Like, you have adrenaline pumping, but you're not waiting for relief of finding out the answer to the question. Like, you know he's going to win, so you just get to, like, swim in it. It feels so good.
Yeah.
So if you do this sequel right, you could maybe replicate some of that catharsis in a new way. Basically, instead of it being like what I said a second ago about, like, you know, reminding us every reason why it matters that he's going to win the race, maybe this one reminds you why it matters even though he's losing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? AI is inevitably going to get to the point where, like, it automates most of our jobs and stuff like that, right? But we can still, there's still a human element to our lives, right? We're all people. We're all still going to notice the mistakes that AI makes, and we're all going to be able, we're going to be here to fix it, right? Especially with art and stuff like that. And I think that's literally the point, right?
You can't even really make art or progress it forward without humans to sort of create genre and something that AI use and reference.
The importance of that final scene would be, yes, like the GKX, what was it?
GRX is correct.
GRX. Mm-hmm. Like, while it does finish the race faster, it has no one to celebrate with. Right.
Yeah. No one cares. Like, they didn't care if the GRX was going to win. People only care about what's happening with speed.
Yeah. Everyone is invested until speed loses. And then they realize, like, oh, this is lame. And the GRX itself. Right. I mean, I think through the, like, earlier parts of the movie, as, like, this software is making all the other racers so much faster, speed is really, like, having to struggle against it philosophically and emotionally.
Sure.
Of, like, because his goal was always, like, oh, I want to be the fastest. Yeah. You know, that's the only thing he's ever cared about, is being faster and getting better and getting to do this.
There's also a subtitle of, like, learning to love yourself even if you lose. Like,
I think so. I think
being okay with loss.
Because I think at the start he is sort of like flirting with the concept of using this software, or using one of these cars. Just because, like, if this is the only way for me to be the fastest, and of course that's what causes that doubt is what causes more of the problems of the movie.
Right.
As at the midpoint, you sort of reveal that it's this, because I think he doesn't know that it's just a computer program. I think he thinks it's just new car technology that is better than what Racer Motors can possibly create.
Right. Well, that's the kind of the mask that AI wears, right? People are like, well, it'll help you do things faster, but in reality, what these tech companies want is for AI to completely replace us, right?
Yes.
And yeah, AI can write a novel faster than you. Doesn't mean it's going to be good, right? It's just
a
tool.
So, like, speed in the middle of the film, like, kind of like caves and drives the GRX.
And then he realizes it's like, it's not really him driving. Like, he is behind the wheel, but, like, he doesn't really have control.
You know what you could do? You could do a scene where he's on the track and he's like, you don't even have whoever is like convincing him to try it, is like, you don't even have to go that fast. Just give it a lap and see how it feels. He's going on the track. Like, maybe it's around Thunderhead. And then a second GRX that looks exactly the same pulls onto the track and starts pushing. And he can't help himself. He pushes back. He races harder. And he is clashing against this second GRX until it starts copying his maneuvers. It starts driving like
him. Yeah, that's how it starts to learn.
It starts catching up, and it starts going faster until he, like, pulls his hands off of the wheel, and even his car has started driving itself.
Yeah.
and maybe it like tries to kill him. Like maybe the mm-hmm. one that is that he's in tries to like throw itself off of the edge of the track, and he has to like climb out of the car and in a daring escape, leap out to safety.
Well, that would be the tension of him getting in, right? Is that we know it's killed every other driver before, so it kind of does two things.
But if you don't push the car, right? But they were just pushing too hard in something, mm-hmm. and they weren't equipped for how fast the car could go. And that's when you're like, oh no, it's killing these drivers.
Yeah.
After it steals their abilities.
Right. The narrative tells the audience that the drivers were just pushing the car too hard. But then we find out that the car itself was responsible.
Maybe you even do a fake out death where you think Speed is dead and you follow like Sparky and Spleen and everyone else having to deal with that as...
And then Speed gets facial reconstructive surgery so the AI doesn't know who he is.
Maybe. But no, like the GRX just takes over. And all of these cars that we now know are not actually having anyone inside of them. And like the whole, basically the whole circuit, the whole league, WRL, after the midpoint with Speed gone, is freaking all these stupid AI cars driving themselves. You know, raising the ultimate fixing, right? Just like making fake entertainment, you know, making fake races, doing fake crashes, you know, and everyone's still eating up because they think it's all people. And there's like, oh, this is the best.
Ooh, actually.
Frickin', this is the best season of the WRL in years. It's so exciting.
It kind of fits that you would do the thing where like the companies and big businesses are buying. Like the sponsors absolutely want these like controllable cars because it's funny because uh-huh. in real life, all these companies are buying into AI.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of the companies are like supporting it and they're like paying off the GRX software to, you know, fix the races however it wants. And the fans are loving it. God help them.
It's honestly really funny if you make it that Speed's the only human driver in the race at all this time.
In like the last race.
What if the GRK's AI agrees to like a deal? Sorry. JLK.
JFK. That's right. That's it.
What if it agrees to a deal with Speed Racer in that if like the deal is, oh, you know, if I beat you, you have to destroy yourself. And he's like, you don't have to beat me. You won't even finish the race. So whenever his family pushes him across the finish line, that's when the AI is like, wait a minute. He finished the race.
He finished the race. He didn't.
I have
didn't
to destroy
win.
Myself.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was the deal.
And then like, and then the JFK like self-destructs and all of the other, chat GRX powered cars all self-destruct.
It's just a line of explosions
and the crowd's happy about it.
And the crowd's
like,
losing it, really.
The sponsors.
I think for, you know, I probably like Speed during this final race is like, he's going through and he's like using his jump jacks and he's like with the help of Inspector has like installed all the gadgets onto the Mach 6 that the Mach 5 had during the Casa Cristo circuit. So he's got the saw blades, he's got the bubble, and he is like car combating all these other cars and is tearing the canopies off of them to reveal there are no drivers inside. So the audience during this final race is realizing, oh my God, there's no one driving these cars. We've been tricked this whole time into watching a farce of
and
entertainment.
Like, obviously, the CEOs of all these companies see the rejoicing in the audience when a human just doesn't even win, just crosses the finish line. And like they understand that the human element is what's needed to drive the soul of entertainment.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're all pushing ice sculptures off of tables.
Like, of course you had to hide that no one was driving these cars because otherwise who cares?
Right.
Yeah, right? Like we were only interested because we thought something was happening. You know, the AI is only
people were doing something.
You only get an artistic experience from it when you think that there's meaning in it, when you think there's a person attached, when you think that it's art. And they prove this at the end. And maybe you can parallel this as well with X's narrative. He's continuing to struggle with his separation from his family. And like he's having his own, you know what? I do think Sparky is also working for Racer X and the agency, and he finds out, and so Sparky ends up going back and forth as sort of a confidant for Racer X. He knows the truth, he knows who he is, and is trying to convince Racer X the whole time, like you...
That's a lot of pressure for Sparky to keep that secret from a family that has taken him in.
Well, I think there has to be some kind of external threat that is making Sparky believe, like, I would be putting everyone in danger.
Well, he would be. Like that's right just now. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think Rex is probably able to convince him of that and keep him in there. But the whole time he is trying to be like, you need to tell them. They'll keep your secret, but they need to know. And I think there's something to that about, like, the human connection. And even for X, it's like, does my racing mean anything anymore if I am only a faceless instrument? If I am nobody, if I have made myself into an inhuman thing?
Yeah.
That only races to get something done, a tool of the agency. And that's why him tearing off his mask at the end is important. Not because he's revealing himself to be Rex Racer, but because he's showing his face to the world and is making himself...
Oh, to the world. Okay, yes, that makes more sense. Yes, yes, that's good. I'm going to be honest. I think this went really well.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. It's got meaning. It's got heart.
Yeah, we tend to, on movies that we actually like, take it a lot more seriously than on the movies.
That's true.
Where...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know when the next time a producer's going to be on the show, but yeah. It was really nice to have, like, direct input from the people that we're trying to impress.
Yeah, I mean...
Well,
I mean,
I don't know. Connor
know.
Didn't sound very impressed, so I think we might be stuck in this basement for a little while longer.
You guys
Connor
cursed
used the
way
word,
too much.
All right, and that's good enough for me.
We wanted way too much.
Too much cursing.
Oh,
yeah. We had to keep this movie PG, guys.
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean,
bleeping it out's just going to be more work for X. So
green screen out the cursing.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do.
Cool. Connor, do you have a movie you'd like us to do next week?
I probably do, but I have to think about it for a second.
Think about it. We'll cut it so that it's a tight ending.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
So long to end
the past
show.
Two movies that I've chosen, we've had to do something else. So
yeah.
Why?
That's because Roger just like he. It just comes off the top of his head, right? He doesn't necessarily like right. look to see if it's something that's easy to do. So we've had to pivot, but I think the pivots have created like
I've
pretty good alternatives. Yeah, like yeah. Tammy and the T-Rex was I think pretty
no way we would have found that organically.
Yeah.
Mm. Are you guys do you like horror movies and stuff? Well, you did Malignant. Okay.
Yeah, horror movies, I think we should do more of because they're easy to one lampoon and come up with sequels for. So
okay, I've got a movie for you.
Okay.
Okay.
I would like to hear you guys write a sequel to Barbarian.
Ooh.
Okay. I haven't seen that.
Okay. Now that's a contentious one.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, how do you follow that
If there's
that
any
up?
Problems with the first one, it's because a man wrote it, and the thing that's going to fix it is three men writing it.
Well, two and a half men.
True. I'm a full one. There's just also... It's just I'm, DLC.
The joke wouldn't have been as funny if I'd clarified. Now, sorry. We didn't name this movie.
It's not Spleen Racer, I'll tell you that.
It can't be Spleen Racer, sorry. What if it's just called Go Speed Racer?
Speed Racer Go.
Speed Racer. Like Ghost.
Speed Racer. Ghost Speed Racer.
Ghost Speed Racer. Ghost.
I feel like I'm listening to in real time whatever happened to the way they title Fast and Furious movies. Like this exact phenomenon that happened in another room.
What's happening currently?
Two Speed Two Racer.
Just do that. Just do that.
Two Speed Two Racer? I think we're about to give it before, but that's...
If you released the movie with that name, the entire culture would explode.
Yeah. We would break the underground crime syndicate. Okay.
Well, let's
go ahead and wrap this up. Let's get Connor out of this basement, obviously through a hatch that we are not allowed out of. Dear listeners, thank you for listening. Obviously, if this is the sequel that wins us our freedom, then don't expect anything else. But I do expect a sequel to Barbarian, because I'm kind of excited for that. Does anybody really want to plug
anything? It's intense.
YouTube.com/JetCoaster. Yeah, please watch my Five Nights at Freddy's videos or my video about Zoids. That is all.
Connor, do you have anything?
My YouTube channel is really good and you should go and watch it.
It is good.
You can go listen to my original music.
Oh.
All right, where can people find that?
Yeah. My artist name is Foxxear with two X's. So Foxxear. And you can find it anywhere, including YouTube, where I have a music video.
Wow.
It's actually really freaking good stuff.
Yeah. I'll link to that in the description.
The outro is that you guys are never getting out of this basement. Not without.
All right. Well, if you guys have been enjoying this show, you could do a few things for us. You can leave a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can also check out some of the other stuff we do, such as Jet Cuso's YouTube channel, like he just said. And Roger and I do another podcast called Paranormal Dudes, where we read spooky-ish stories off of Reddit. But we'll catch you guys next time on Sequel Factory for part 2.
The sequel.
Continue. He's going so fast, aha.
He is driving the car. Oh no, that car is not real. There is nothing inside that car. How is he going to win against all of these automated cars? These vehicles are too strong for Speed Racer. What if he can achieve help from his brother, Rex?
Or Spleen.
Yeah.